Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
You were born for this part four. I've been kind of did a subtitle there, special delivery. But we've been, since the day of Pentecost, we did an emphasis on the Holy Spirit that on the day of Pentecost. And then we went into the series, just the four messages, you were born for this. So you can catch them on the website, and you can actually, you know, if you have a smartphone, you can put the app on there. It's an easy way to do that. You just, our Radiant Springs app. You can give online, you can check announcements online, you can check the calendar online, you can listen to the messages. In fact, it'll even tell you, oop, you'll get this notification saying Pastor Brenda uploaded it, and you can listen to it. So if you want to catch the rest of them there, you can find them there. So up to this point, we talked about you were born for this part one, that God, that good deeds are not enough. So if we want to make a difference in this world, good deeds are not enough. Human weakness, though, opens the door for the miraculous, and then God invites us to partner with him. And then after that, we looked at some different keys, the master key, the people key, the spirit key, the risk key. In other words, we should ask God to be sent. God, send me. Lord, send me. I know many of us are willing, but this takes it up a step further and say, hey, God, as you begin your prayer life in the morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, you say, God, send me today. What mission do you want to send me on today? All right? And you share God's heart for people, you partner with the Spirit. And then the message before this, then we talked about just signals, recognizing God's signals. Now, God may have different signals for you, but he gives us nudges, okay? Some of you, God needs a 2x4 or a 4x4, just kind of, you know, all right? Because it's like, you know, we get this nudge, and God says, you know, I want you to go and talk to that person. We say, God, is that really you? You know, we just, you know, put out this fleece for me and, you know, turn the sky dark. Or, you know, we want these cues to know if it's really God. And usually I think it is God, that if we sense that nudge. And so the example we used was Philip. He's in the desert, and God nudges him and says, hey, I want you to go down south, take the road to Gaza. And as he's on that road, walking, jogging, he sees this Ethiopian eunuch, a very important person from Ethiopia. He's there as a representative. He was in Jerusalem. And so God calls him to run alongside his chariot. He hears him reading the book of Isaiah. That is Philip's cue that, hey, this guy needs, I'm here for a mission and a purpose. And so he leads him to God, baptizes him, and off he goes. So it's pretty cool. So, but it's recognizing those signs that God maybe is giving to us to identify those. So we identify the person, we isolate the need, we open up the heart, we deliver the miracle, and we give the credit back to God. Okay, five things. There'll be a test on that when we're done. All right? Okay, it was in last week, so if you have last week's program, it's there. All right? So today I want to talk just a little bit more. What kind of miracles or special deliveries may God want to deliver through your life? Okay? I want to look at three of them. So before we do, though, I want us just to look to the Lord in prayer today. Father, we just thank you just for these moments, these times that we get to study your word together. And I just pray that your spirit is here just to work in our hearts and our lives. That there is truly some transformation that takes place. Father, we can go to your word, but it's more than words on a page. We want it to become alive to us. We want it to be your word that speaks directly to our heart today. And so, Father, in order for that to happen, we need the help of your Spirit to make it come alive. Give us open hearts and ears to hear what you are saying to your church today. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. So the first thing that I want us to turn our attention, special deliveries, I'm going to give you the points right up front so you can't tune out on me. I'm going to give you the point and then we're going to talk about it, all right? So the first point is financial provision. God may use you to deliver financial provision to somebody else. So in his book, You Are Born for This, Bruce Wilkinson gives a story that I thought was pretty interesting. Him and his wife were, that one's coming up. I'm going to keep you in suspense. Him and his son had a busy day in South Africa. So Bruce Wilkinson is from South Africa. And him and his son were doing some work, and they had a busy day, and they got back to the motel. They were hoping to get there just in time so they could get what? Ice cream. Isn't that weird how that just worked out? Concert in the park, ice cream. But I think it's a sign from God. All right. So they were hoping to get back just in time for ice cream. So they get into the restaurant at the motel, get set down. The waitress comes, and she goes, can I take you? We're just closing down. They said, we were really hoping you could get us some ice cream. And she goes, well, we're already closed down. She goes, I can maybe get you some coffee. And they said, okay, well, we'll take some coffee, but we really want an ice cream. If there's any way you can still get us some ice cream, you know, let us know, but we'll take some coffee. So the waitress went back and was working on that. And while she's back there getting their coffee and things, God just kind of, there was that nudge. And Bruce recognized that he was supposed to tip this lady, not just tip her, but give her a big tip. And not just a big tip, but a huge tip. In other words, all the money he had rolled up in his pocket that he had just got at the bank. And it's kind of like, are you sure, God? So she came back. Not only did she have the coffee, but she had the ice cream. She brought the ice cream. She was able to get it. And it was a hot day, so it just felt really good to have that ice cream. And so before they left, he reached in, got that roll of money, it was several hundred dollars, placed it in her apron, and she went back to the room. And then she came back, and she goes, you must love Jesus. And you must love Jesus. She goes, I've been praying all day today to God for a miracle. She was a single mom with a young daughter, and they were going to get evicted from their apartment because they didn't have the rent money to pay rent. And it was the exact amount that she needed to pay her rent so that they wouldn't be evicted. That's pretty cool. See, it is more than just giving. He was giving to a need that of another believer in Christ that had a need at that hour. Somebody that was working hard to provide their bills, it just wasn't enough. And God used him to provide that need. So what does Scripture say? Proverbs 19:7 says, I told you we were going to be in James, didn't I? I lied. All right. Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is kind to the poor or lends to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. So in other words, when we give out of our provision that God has blessed us with, we give to somebody else, we're actually lending to God, and that God's going to reward us. Isn't that cool? 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, we lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation in heaven for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, some of you may think, you know what, I'm not rich. Okay? And I would argue that compared to most of the world, you are rich. Even some of us that probably have the lowest income. I've been to some places in the world, and trust me, even some of us with the lowest income would still be considered rich in most of the world. Wilkinson has a novel idea, and I'm going to share this with you. He calls it, he has a God pocket. Okay? You know what a God pocket is? A God pocket. So every, I don't know, month, week, or whatever, he just takes money, okay? He takes money out of his weekly budget or whatever, and he takes it, and he puts it in a spot that it's kind of always with him. And he calls it his God pocket. He gives it to God and says, God, this is your money. And so now it's not longer his. It's just God's money, right? And then it's kind of whenever he gets that nudge, then he goes, okay, I know you're supposed to provide that for me through me today. And so that's what he does. So, I don't know who I'm supposed to give this to today, but I think I know. So, yes, you wish Everett. That's for a coffee, okay? All right. to have that money set aside that we can just give. Because if we have that set aside and we give it, we've given it to God, then it's kind of like, I don't have to worry about, oh, I don't have money with me, or it's going to really, get in my budget, because I think we live on a budget, okay? And we have to always figure that out, and some weeks are better than other weeks. But if you take that money just kind of on a regular basis and set aside, God, this is your money, how do you want to, if you want to send me on a mission to be a blessing to somebody else, provide their need, that's there. And then when you sense that nudge that you're obedient and that you follow God. Isn't that cool? So that's just an idea. You don't have to follow through on it, but it's an idea that if you want to be used by God, you identify the person, isolate the need, open the heart, deliver the miracle, and give the credit back to God. Secondly, we can be on a special delivery that may include helping someone discover their life purpose. Discover their life purpose. So I was in a conversation this week just talking with someone about life purpose and how much that meant to them. For you, those of us who understand that, we've discovered what God's plan and purpose for our life is, we may just totally take that for granted. But for somebody without Christ that is kind of just drifting through life, to know that God loves them, to know that God has a plan and a purpose for them, that can be life-changing transformation and totally change the course of their life, can it? And some of you were there. Some of you were there. You were drifting through life, and all of a sudden, God got through a friend or somebody. Somehow, God got through to you, and you understood God's plan for your life and has changed the course of your life. To know that God has a plan for your life is truly transformational. Maybe God is going to open up opportunities and windows for you to share with people that God loves them or that God has a plan and purpose for their life. Psalms 139, David says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are all wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when it was hidden in the secret place, when it was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body. All the days for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Pretty powerful, isn't it? God spoke to Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah chapter 1, 4 through 5, "The word of the Lord came to him, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And sometimes we think that we have to discover God's will for our life, and God already has it all figured out. Before one of you was even born, God knew he had a plan and a purpose for your life, a destiny. Now, we don't always know what that is. God reveals it to us over time. But you could play a key role in helping somebody fill in the blanks or the piece to the puzzle that they've been missing. And all of a sudden, you are that person that delivers the message that God has a plan and a purpose for their life. Right? And that it can be a powerful thing. If you change the course of one person in this lifetime, that one person could then change the course and direction of how many people after that. It multiplies. It's magnified. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans I have for you." Now, he's referring to Israel. God speaking through Jeremiah to the people of Israel and says, "I have plans for you, Israel. You've disobeyed me. You've rebelled. You've gone your own way, but I still have plans for you, and I'm sending you into Babylon where you're going to be in captivity, but I won't forget you. I have a plan and a purpose for you. My plan is to prosper you," right? Not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. And I think many times people get in difficult places in life, and they think, God is punishing me, life is bad. But see, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and we can help people realize that. Now, I want to give you just a modern, well, it's not really modern, but it is a real-life example, and it's of Abigail. So Abigail is here with us this morning, and I told her it's not actually Abigail, but her name is Abigail. But I'm going to give you of Abigail in the Bible. It's found in 1 Samuel, chapter, I think it is 25. So David, just a little brief history. David, he's the youngest of the brothers. And God Samuel comes to David's house. He's supposed to anoint a king. He goes through all the brothers, the biggest, the strongest, the oldest. And none of them are it. And so Samuel says, do you have any more sons? Because none of these are it. And he goes, well, there's David. He's out in the field taking care of the sheep. Go get him. They bring him in. God says he's the one. They know he's anointed. David's anointed. Okay, so then after that, we soon see him on the battlefield. He's delivering bread and food supplies to his brothers that are at war with the Philistines. And they're all terrified and petrified because Goliath is out there. Nobody wants to go out and meet Goliath, right? He's 9 feet tall, big, burly, this big warrior. David says, I'll go out there. They can't find armor to fit him. He goes out there with a sling, stones, kills Goliath. He's elevated to a place of power, serves in Saul's army. But soon, Saul sees God's favor in David's life and turns on David. And so David lives a life of hiding, life on the run for several years. Eventually, he surrounds himself with other people that are runaways or they're in trouble with the law. They're outcasts. And before long, he has this army that is able to actually... It's a decent army. You read about some of their feats and exploits. It's pretty incredible. And so he has this army, and they actually were kind to people. So if the shepherds were out in the fields, I think David had a special place for them because he himself was a shepherd at one point. He would make sure that no robbers or bad people would attack their flocks or the shepherds. Okay, and one of those people happened to be Nabal. Okay. And what we know of Nabal is that Nabal had a lot of wealth. And so his shepherds were out there, and when they were out there, David and his men took care of him. Well, Nabal is going to have a feast, and so David thought, you know what? We've looked over his flocks, and we've helped out his shepherds, so they're going to come in for the buffet, right? And they were ready for some home-cooked meals and cooking. And so they were going to come down for it, but Nabal says, you know what? I don't want anything to do with you. You're not welcome here. See you later. And David did not take that too kindly. He got pretty worked up. He was angry. So he gets all his men. They strap on their swords. And they are coming. And they're going to totally wipe out Nabal and all his property, all the people, his servants. They're just going to totally kill everybody. Abigail happened to be Nabal's wife. And she hears about the plan. And she realizes what is happening, taking place. She's a smart lady. Okay, and she's putting two to two together. So being the smart woman she is, she gets bread, she gets other provisions, cakes and stuff like that. And she loads him on a donkey and she goes out to meet David and his army that is coming to destroy her and her husband's estate. And she meets him. So this is where we pick it up. All right? 1 Samuel chapter 5, 23 through 35. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey, bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Because David, he's red in the face. I mean, he's ready to draw blood and take life. Please pay no attention to my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. It means fool. Folly goes before him. As for me, your servant, I did not see the men my Lord had sent. And now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord God lives, and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my Lord be like Nabal. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to you, my Lord, be given to the men who follow you. Please give your servants presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting destiny for my Lord because you fight the Lord's battles and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing to take your life, so that was Saul, the life of the Lord of your God, but the lives of your enemies will be hurled away as from a pocket of a sling. Then the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord, when the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he has promised concerning him, has appointed him a ruler over Israel. So here Abigail is being prophetic, isn't it? She's saying, one day you are going to be the king of Israel. How did she know that? So God is speaking a prophetic word through her. And probably David really needed to hear that in this difficult moment because he he was anointed king, and yet now he's living a life on the run. He's an outcast. When the Lord has fulfilled my Lord, every good thing that he's promised concerning him and has appointed him rule over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of the needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. In other words, David, when you become king, you're not going to have feel guilty that you went and took and killed all Nabal and all these people. You're not going to have that on your record. She's a smart lady. Verse 32. David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to me today. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who kept me from harming you, if you had not come here quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." And then David accepted from her hand which she brought him and says, "Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request." So that day, Abigail reminded David of his destiny and what God had called him to do. It wasn't to kill innocent people. It was to be a ruler of Israel one day. And God spoke through her. And just another tidbit, she goes back home. Nabal, God just causes Nabal to fall over dead, takes his life. He just shrivels up and dies. David comes in, finds out she's a widow, and she becomes one of his wives. Not bad, huh? Not bad. So what does a miracle look like? You're able to help someone understand that God has a plan and purpose for their life. You help someone to begin to dream again. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have quit dreaming. You help someone discover what is holding them back from God's purpose and dreams. Or you provide the encouragement to someone who has been abandoned by God's plan. Or the purpose for their life has been discouraged, meant hardships in life. There again, you identify the person. You sense that nudge. You say, "God, who do you want me to speak to today?" Isolate the need. You open up their heart. Deliver the miracle and transfer the credit. Amen? Financial provision, life purpose. Anybody want to guess the last one? It's one word. There's a lot to choose from. Last one is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Anybody get it? All right. Forgiveness. The miracle of forgiveness is helping someone experience God's freedom to those suffering under unforgiveness. Okay? We think of unforgiveness, it's going to hurt somebody else, right? So if I carry a grudge, if I carry bitterness, it's going to really hurt that other person that I have it against, isn't it? Not. Who does it hurt? Hurts me. Unforgiveness is the poison that we drink thinking that others will be hurt. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21 says, "Therefore we are God's ambassadors as God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf." So Jenna read this earlier. Gina. "Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You know what? God can use us to place us in situations where we can help somebody experience forgiveness for the first time. They need to find forgiveness, first of all, with God, right? Be reconciled to God. But secondly, it's to be reconciled with other people. So, here's the story that I started earlier, okay? So Bruce and his wife, it was Christmas Day, they were going out to deliver miracles. Deliver miracles. Deliver food. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Deliver miracles. They're going to deliver food, Christmas Day, South Africa. The first family they came to was a family of seven. This family was just really happy to see him because they said, we don't have food to do a Christmas meal. And so it was a real blessing to them. And so they stayed and talked with them for a little bit. And all of a sudden they began to get a nudge from God that there was a bigger need than just providing food for them that day. And as they talked with them, it became apparent that this mom was still dealing with sadness due to a loss of a daughter. And so they began to understand, she began to explain the story that they had a 2-year-old daughter that drowned in the neighbor's pool across the way, across the backyard. And what had happened is the mom didn't want to go to work that day, but felt pressured by her husband to go to work to help pay the bills, right? So she went. They found a babysitter, but the babysitter fell asleep. The older brother was upstairs in his room listening to music and playing video games, and so he didn't notice when the two-year-old went out the back door, went across into the neighbor's yard, and drowned in the pool. And so they began to tell she told the story, and so, you know, they were just broken over that, Bruce and his wife. And finally he goes, so when did this happen? She goes, 18 years ago. But see, it almost sounded like it happened yesterday or last week or this month. For 18 years, this lady, this woman, had been carrying bitterness, unforgiveness, this heavy burden for 18 years. She'd been carrying it. It had caused her son to be an alcoholic. It had destroyed their marriage because she wasn't able to let go of that. And I think she even had her own guilt because she felt like she wasn't supposed to go to work that day. And so in that process, they were able to walk her through forgiveness with God and towards others and help her to get some freedom from her unforgiveness. Wouldn't it be cool to be able to be used by God to deliver a miracle like that? Just a forgiveness to somebody? And I believe God is wanting to do that, but we have to know when God is nudging us on the shoulder, be able to say, God, okay, I sense you want me to deliver a miracle to somebody. Who is that? Oh, it's that person. And then maybe start up a conversation with that person. And then there's that clarifying bump that, yeah, there is a need there. And then you follow through with what God has shared on your heart. I believe that God has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us, right? He's given it to empower us. What does that look like? Well, I think it looks like God flowing through us to be ministers, if you want to use that, witnesses to the world around us. And it can be providing these special miracles, these deliveries, financial provision. It could even be helping somebody discover their life purpose or helping to know God and find forgiveness. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come. And you could even be just praying with somebody even for a miracle in their own life. I shared that story about praying with the photographer and his wife and how just through a simple prayer, it wasn't really anything special about the prayer. There was no angels hovering above, you know, just like the, you know, like this halos over the house, you know, when I prayed with them. I didn't pray in Jesus' name. You know, I didn't. It was just simple prayers, folks. And God honored that prayer of faith. And He has given us His Holy Spirit. And that's the important thing to remember. You know what? Our human weakness is the opportunity for God to do the miraculous through our life. I know a lot of us are willing. But are we saying, God, Lord, send me. Let me be a blessing to somebody today. I'm available if you need me. If I'm a right fit for the job, Lord, send me today. Amen? Next Sunday, we're going to have Stephen Kurt and his wife, Bailey. Continue to keep them in your prayers just for healing in her body. But if you can be at all possible here, they're going to share our missions in the morning and then the evening service, probably about 6 o'clock. We'll have the evening service just for emphasis on the Holy Spirit and just a refreshing time there. We'd invite you back for that. So, God has given us His Holy Spirit to equip and empower us. Are you available? We are Christ's ambassadors. He is desiring to make His appeal through us to the world around us. Amen? And by the world, I mean people, your neighbors, the people you work with, the people you're at school with. People just like you and I, amen? And some of those people are where you used to be before you knew God, before you knew Christ, and He made a difference in your life. Now God wants to say, hey, I want to flow through you. Could God do it all Himself? I think He could. He could. But I think it brings God more joy when He empowers us by His Holy Spirit and He flows through you. Because then it's like, yes, they get it. He's excited for us. Amen? Man, would you stand this morning? We sing this chorus a few times, but I like it because it really applies the message from today. God, take what I have in my hands and multiply it. There's times I feel like, God, I don't have much. I don't have much. It's not enough, right? And God says, I know. That's why I've given you my Holy Spirit. Because He will empower you. He'll equip you to do what I've called you to do. It's God's power flowing through us. We just partner with Him. We just have to be willing. And if you really think, you know what, you're just hot stuff and you're, you know, just be assured that God used a donkey. He gave a prophetic word through a donkey in the Old Testament. So if God can use a donkey, I think He can use most of us, okay? All right? All right. Let's sing that chorus together and then we're going to close in prayer. But would you just say, God, speak to me this morning. And have those that are going to help out with prayer, Victor and Yolanda, Christy, if you come. If you have a prayer request this morning, just look to the Lord in prayer and just say, God, speak to our heart and our life this morning. Amen. Lord, this morning we just come before you, Father. The greatest thing that could happen to us here today is just to know you as our Lord and our Savior, to put our faith and our trust in you, to be reconciled to God, Father. And Lord God, if you're speaking to us this morning, the simple process just of saying, God, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of my wrongdoing, Father. Be my Lord, my Savior. The prayer is easy, but Father, the commitment is not always easy to follow you. But you said, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So Father, that's the first prayer. The second prayer, God, Lord, I believe you've given us your Holy Spirit for a reason and for a purpose. You've given us gifts, as it's described in Corinthians, whether it's prophecy, word of knowledge, healings. Lord, you've given us those things not to, for the purpose of building your church and edifying and ministering your grace and mercy to other people. Father, you've given us your Holy Spirit so that we can carry on the ministry that you have entrusted to us, Lord God. Father, that's a big thing. It's a big task. You said, greater things shall we do because you are going to the Father. Because Jesus is going to go to the Father and you're going to leave us your Holy Spirit. And Father, Lord God, in our humanness and our weakness and just who we are, Father, I believe you want to display your mighty power of Christ in us by your Spirit. And Lord God, I just pray in the coming weeks, days, Father, you would just manifest your power through us. Lord, as we sense that nudge from you, Lord God, and we look around and think, it's not anybody else and it's not Satan, it must be you. Lord God, that you'd give us the faith and just the wisdom just to follow through on these special missions that you give us, Lord God. Because there's people around us that need to know your forgiveness. There's people around us that need to know that God has a plan and a purpose for their life. There's people around us that are working hard and they're doing all they can, but they hit a rough spot and they just maybe need some financial provision that you want to provide. They're crying out to you, and Lord God, maybe we're the messenger to answer that prayer. So God, flow through us. Let us be salt and light in this world, in this community, in the community that we live. Lord God, let us be salt and light. The world is watching us. They watch how we live. Lord, let us be the light of Christ to the world around us. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise this day, dear God. And we ask in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Find a hand, shake it. It's your last Sunday. You get to say you were born for this.